The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Dear friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He, the only begotten Son of our Father, who sent His Holy Spirit so that we would believe and trust in Him always, in Him alone, now and forever. He sent His Holy Spirit so that we would be not be left as orphans, but be led in all truth, be comforted in all those reminders of what Jesus had taught while He was with His disciples, making us confident, hopeful, and faithful all along. On this day, the One Holy Christian Church celebrates its own birthday. Together with Christians all over the world, together with angels and archangels, with saints and martyrs of days gone by, we are praising the living God for all He has done for us and for our salvation throughout the ages, through this, His very own institution, Christ's living body and His most effective instrument here on earth, the Holy Christian Church, from all nations and throughout all ages. Jesus Christ Himself instituted the office of the ministry, the preaching of His holy word, the administration of His sacraments according to His will and final testament to gain faith amongst faithless people. He does not act directly with us, but only through these means, through these instruments. And that is why your pastor was quite right to say this is the most blessed hour in the week, not only for you, but throughout the world, as people gather around those holy means of our living God, by which He has preserved the Church throughout the ages and has spread it across the whole world. Oh yes, the Church was there from the very beginning. The Triune God spoke to His people since the very first time He created them. Right there with Adam and Eve. It was somebody He could communicate with in a very different way than with the other creations of His, which were very good too. But Adam and Eve were special, the crown of His creation. From the very beginning He spoke to them in law and gospel. And we know that Jesus Christ is this very word which became flesh and lived among us, so that we would hear God's will towards us, His never-ending favor to His people here on earth. Yes, He lived among us from that first Christmas, but was one with God before all time and space all along. It is of Him that the Father says at His baptism, "This is My dearly beloved Son. Listen to Him." If you want to know what I feel towards you, how I am inclined towards you, what the very thoughts of my heart are, listen to my son Jesus. He opens my heart. He reveals my deepest thoughts. And they are not thoughts of revenge or trouble, but of never-ending goodness. All along, just listen to the words of Jesus. Whatever he speaks, it is the very best for us. Since those very early days, long gone by, the triune God has called people from all parts of the world to trust and believe in him. And we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who does these miracles and wonders among his folks, that they repent, that people with hardened hearts repent, that people with hearts of stone get hearts of flesh, that people who harbor bitterness, hatred, and all sorts of evil stuff in their hearts, that they get hearts of love and caring. That's the miraculous doing of the Holy Spirit. It takes God to change people's hearts in that way. Much more effective than any hammer that we know and that we can yield. Yes, it has been the divine activity from the very beginning. These words which we know from the small catechism, gathering, collecting, joining together, unifying, strengthening, building, edifying the church from all the ends of the world. You've seen businesses grow and businesses decline. It's a whole science on its own to see which ones can make it to last longer than a decade. You should look at the church, which has been there all along, is flourishing, even as it passes like a summer rain from one area to the next. That is the wonderful thing of sharing this history with people from across the globe, because we see that God is never retiring. He's never giving up this work, but is doing it in ways which just surpass all human understanding. Yes, that was his business on Pentecost. Just think of those intimidated disciples of his. The time after Easter, in these 50 days, Jesus did nothing else than to bring those guys back into line, sort of thing. Just think about the merciful dealing with Peter, who betrayed him, who denied him, is the right word. How he lets him come back to strengthen the brethren. His merciful dealings with Thomas, with Mary Magdalene, or those Emmaus disciples. But even a guy like Saul fits into this picture, because as St. Paul says, he is sort of like a late born. He was not part of that crowd who saw Jesus in those 50 days, but Jesus appeared to him anyway, this persecutor of the church. Now, if there ever was somebody who was going against the grain and trying to really beat God at his own work. It was in Paul persecuting the church, the body of Christ, and how Jesus, in his wonderful, loving way, changes this man to become the greatest apostle of all times. It's really God at work here. No human would come up with this idea. I'm sure a lot of us would have joined in the complaint or the admonition or the feeling of this is not, cannot be right. Do you know how much he has done to harm the church? And still Jesus uses him. And what a great blessing he became for the church. As we read and study the epistles even today of St. Paul, in great clarity he could show how the whole Testament, Old Testament, was already pointing to Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of all the prophecies of old. My dear friends, that's the working of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in all truth. And he takes a person like St. Paul, an excellent exegete of the Old Testament, the Jew, if you ever had one, and he makes him into his most efficient apostle for the church. Yes, it's a miracle and wonder. And he does these, and St. Paul even pointed out to us, he did that so that we would get hope, that we would see if he can do that with a guy like Saul. Well, then who is a hopeless case compared with that? Nobody. God can change a person like Saul. Well, then missions is never a hopeless task. Nobody can be worse than Saul, this persecutor of the church who became the missionary of the church by the grace of God. Yes, and Jesus does this leading and guiding of his people back, letting their hearts burn, that they, and opening up their eyes that they can see him, so that they would become joyful witnesses, not depending on their own steadfastness, but rather that God keeps them through all calamities, bears and carries them in the true faith, so that they may remain with him. Isn't that his constant struggle with us, even as we try to overcome our faithlessness, our lack of hope and lack of love? And he wrestles with us, and he shows us his goodness and mercy, which is new every morning. And he lets us say yes to his ways, which are often hidden and dark to us, knowing that his rod and staff are with us, and that we need to fear no ill, but that we are well taken care of. Yes, wherever the living and most gracious God uncovers sin to forgive it by his grace, wherever he proclaims his own goodness and mercy with sinners, wherever he feeds hungry people and heals ill and sick, frees captives and those in bondage, makes foreigners and migrants be at home even in strange and far off places, and allows the poor and needy to hear his good news, that's where he grows his church right among us in this very world. Just think of that first Pentecost. Those disciples sitting behind locked doors, afraid of the Jews. And then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, things are opened up, wide open. Suddenly they become confident proclaimers of his good news. And 3,000 people were baptized that day. And the word of the Lord continued to grow, 5,000. And then numbers which were not even recorded anymore. And today we are talking about millions. Millions in Ethiopia, Madagascar, Tanzania, who are Lutherans, like you. Isn't it a miracle and wonder how God leads Philip into a desert place where there's nothing at all? And he finds that guy from Africa, who still today is remembered as the firstborn. A bit different to the one Simon of Cyrene, who already carried the cross of Christ, also from Africa. But God growing his church in ways which are really fascinating and very encouraging to us, as we see that God does that, and it is like this man who throws out the seed and it grows while he's sleeping and he does not know how. But when he opens his eyes, it is ready for the picking. The harvest is white. It is large. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send in people who will gather in his harvest. And that's something that we can do, whether we are old or whether we are as small as these children who gathered here. Praying to the Lord that he will continue with his miraculous work, not only in our own lives. He has promised that he will never stop with that. He who started the good work in you will lead it to a good end. There's no doubt about that. Because of his calling and his wonderful election, he is going to see to it that you reach the goal. But he said, you ask the Lord of the harvest that he will send harvesters into his work, workers into his harvest. That's your task. It's easy, folding the hands and getting those words out to him. And you, if you are evil and can do good things for your children, how much more will the good Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him for it? Take him by his word. Ask him. And he will do it. He who has done his church business in the times of the apostles in wonderful ways. If you imagine how he spread out the news across the Mediterranean, reaching out from Jerusalem, the center of the world, to people in Asia, Africa, Europe. Your pastor read all those difficult words so nicely just now. And he has not stopped with that work. You name the place, you find a church there. Australia, Alaska, Siberia, Madagascar, even in the deserts of Africa. What an international, global event Pentecost has always been. From the very beginning, he has opened up the doors and widened our view to get a broader perspective. There in Pentecost, that's where the living God himself made up for the sinful mischief and downright evil of that idolatrous Tower of Babel. Those people making a name for themselves, going against the first commandment, this thing which is so much part of our own inner setup. Now by his forgiving grace, these different cultures, languages and traditions are no longer doomed to live separated in fear, hatred and envy and strife with one another, unable to understand each other, unable to sympathize with one another, and just banned and bound to worship own family deities, village spirits, tribal idols, or national ideologies. By God's grace and forgiving mercy, the most diverse people are brought together by the Holy Spirit into one body, one church, so that they can hear the miracles and wonders of the one and only God of this universe, and together with one voice give him his due praises as one big happy family, as it was meant to be from the very beginning. Now, South Africa is a wonderful example for this, actually, because over many years it was decreed to be God's will that people just live apart because they just don't cope together. So it's best to keep them away from each other, each in his own bit. I think our history shows a bit how God himself has overcome this and make it true what's actually been part of our motto of our nation all along. Ex unitate viris. Strength through unity and not by division. You know, divide and rule is very easy. That's which weakens people. But where they stand together, it is different. And I think it was mainly the work of faithful Christians like you who were not going to let false ideologies overcome them, that this was overcome, and that they reach out to each other and live in harmony with each other. We are not heaven on earth, no doubt about that. But I do believe that it is God's way of showing that these human ideologies which separate people out of principle, which say that his powerful gospel is ineffectual if it really comes to the deep animosity between people, is ineffectual, that this will not stand up to him, but he will see that his truth overcomes, and that his people too will overcome. Yes, by God's grace and forgiving mercy, the most diverse people are brought together by the Holy Spirit into one body, one church, so that they can hear the miracles and wonders of the one and only God of this universe, and together with one voice give him his due praises. Here at Pentecost, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob grants his own church to witness the starting realization of his final church version for the entire globe, encompassing all nations and continents. His beloved apostle and bishop of the seven churches, St. John, saw it on Patmos. We too are looking forward to seeing this vision with our own eyes, to hear this beautiful song, this song of the Feast of the Victory, with our own two eyes and joining in with our humble voices too. St. John describes the great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This Pentecost message is especially comforting to those who in this life and time experience the discrimination, isolation and persecution of the church, which is the reality of Christians all around the world. The forms of persecution are very different. You look at Nigeria, Boko Haram, and you look at Persia or India from Muslims or Islam and Hinduism, or whether you look at modern forms which you see here even in the United States. There is comfort because it is the living God's promise that His church will not be overcome but will remain to the very end. And just as the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church in ages gone by, it was the time of the biggest expansion of the church, that time of serious discrimination and also persecution. So we too should not be afraid. Not even 1,000 or more devils, nor any evil or anything could stop Luther from going to Worms, from proclaiming the truth there against a lot of opposition. In the same way too, nothing will stop the Church of Christ to come to His final destination, the glorious perfection of His honorable bride, even if she is in a lowly state here on earth. You can build on that. You can trust Him, because He is faithful and will surely do as He has promised. Already His great works are proclaimed across the globe. It is the reason why we rejoice and thank Him even today, even if we don't see it all, we hear about it, and we believe that He will make His promises true. He alone can take credit for all this goodness, where it is done and where it has come to fruition. It's just as He said, "Not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." This is so true everywhere, but especially in the church. Just look how God, in wonderful ways, answered that desperate situation of Moses, where he thought he was all alone and the burden was getting too heavy. He added 70 elders. It's nothing for our Lord if these won't cry out my hosannas, the stones will start joining him. It's our Lord who can move people in wonderful ways, His whole creation, to bring about what He wants. Therefore, there is no reason to despair. Your pastor mentioned the seminary initiative. I think it's a wonderful story how God moved people very far away to do great things that our seminary, which was always just catering for Zulu and Tswana speaking people, to suddenly be a home and a place of theological education for people from across the continent in Africa. You have done wonderful things for the church in Uganda, where more than 15 people are working as pastors now because of the support you gave them. One of them is a teacher at the seminary now teaching Greek and New Testament. He was able to be supported for many years at the seminary. It takes a long time for somebody who can hardly read and write in English to get a Master of Theology. Our professor of missions has also come a long way. You know, his pastor saw him when he was in confirmation class. He had given up on school after 4 years of schooling, but his parents said, "You better go to confirmation class." And the pastor said, "John Bongeni Gambule, you can't now leave school already. You have to go back." Today this man is a member of the church council in the LCSA. He's a master of theology with an accredited degree from the University of Pretoria, and he's in charge of fundraising at the seminary. If that pastor would not have seen this boy and said, "Go back to school," well, you can imagine. We've got a guy from the Congo now who's never learned to read and write properly as we do from our notes, like I do here from a paper. He just picks the stuff up from hearing. He's picked up the gospel through hearing. So now he can talk French. That's how he worked amongst the Congolese in Durban, the migrants who are there. French is not one of the official languages in South Africa, so they are really a foreign body there. They have got a lot of difficulties because they are not accepted by the South Africans, etc., etc. Xenophobia is a big issue. But this John Magala, he is starting to talk in Zulu, in English. He's at the seminary now even because he realizes he needs more language. But he is still in contact with the people back in the Congo. And so on Sundays he takes his cell phone and he calls back home. They send him airtime. And then he preaches to his congregation back home via the cell phone. Now for me that is really unheard of in our church. This faithfulness in getting his calling done. He goes about studying and doing his work, but remembers all those people who are left back in Congo who don't hear the gospel if he does not preach it to them. Yes, our limitations and our boundaries are God's opportunities and springboards. The talk with Gary Ray and Randy Galter at that time, we wanted them to support the seminary in sort of like a third leg or a fourth leg to support our seminary as we were going about our business. Then they said, "No, let us see whether we can't expand the view." That's how Africa came to mind, and suddenly the place was attractive to people from Liberia, from Ghana, from Nigeria. We've got people from Rwanda, from Uganda, from Sudan, from places like Ethiopia, Madagascar for the first time now. And this is also a very strange thing. Our people, when they first came to Africa in 1850s, they were actually going to Ethiopia. They were prevented to go into Ethiopia because there were Muslim leaders along the coast at Mombasa. And they returned home to Germany, and on their way back, when they had thought the mission had failed, people in South Africa said, "Please, there's enough work here to do, come and do the work here." That's how they came into Zululand. Today there are more than 25,000 Ethiopians coming to look for work in South Africa. And the church, the Ethiopian church, has come to us, connected with the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa, and say, "Can we stay in your place, in your churches, to listen to the gospel in Amharic? Because you are also Lutherans like we." For us, this is a big challenge. That is about as many Lutherans as we are in our whole church. But it is wonderful how God works 150 years after the time when our people wanted to go there and they were prevented. Now they are coming without our doing and suddenly filling our churches in this wonderful way. Yes? God has sees open doors where we just see shut opportunities. We are never alone in the church, but rather we are joined to various members and limbs under the one head, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit joins us together with one common faith, love and hope, so that we become more and more what God has envisioned for us, one holy Christian and apostolic church, proclaiming his miracles and wonders in this world, and even amongst those who don't yet believe. God has established his church worldwide. We are part of it because good, gracious and merciful. And he has not forgotten his church, but it is that there are still so many people who don't know his good and fatherly will, who don't know his son Jesus Christ, the only savior of the world. And that is why he has patience with us and with his world. But it will not last forever. He will surely come to judge the living and the dead. And we are looking forward to that day, because then at last we will see what we have here already believed. Therefore, let us continue in his word and remain very much at home where his glory dwells, here in the sanctuary, around his means of grace. He will continue to teach and guide us with his holy word, thus keep us all in the truth, despite all affliction and temptation. To him be all the glory now and forever. Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you always. Amen.